Father, I thank you that you have in your sovereignty, for whatever reason, told us that you want us to be people of prayer. You are sovereign. You know everything there is possible to know. And yet you say to us, call upon my name. I ask, Father God, that as we do that as your people, that we would grow in our faith, and grow in our understanding of who you are, and be thrilled. I also ask, Father God, that you would speak to us from your word, that you would give us instruction. I thank you, Father God, that you speak to us so plainly and clearly from Scripture. Be with us this morning and have your way. Let your words go forth and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Two parts to the service this morning. Prayer and baptism. I believe they are connected, and we will see a little bit of how that is connected this morning. It is the tradition that I have been hoping that we can maintain forever until Christ comes back, that we begin each year with prayer. That we begin each year with prayer, but this month of prayer begins to expand. So that the month of prayer, the month of January, just becomes this natural time when we grow in our understanding of prayer and our motivation for prayer and our passion for prayer, but that the prayer life that we lead expands throughout all of the year. We do set apart January to grow in our prayer, to revitalize that dedication and passion for this principle that God has given us, the principle to communicate to God. This is also the principal way that we communicate to God. This is how we do it. It's called prayer. We talk to Him. It's easy for us to make this prayer thing into something religious. I want us to get over that, because I want our lifestyle to be one that people go, you know, that's a person that prays. I see them, like Dave was saying this morning, and you started to cross the... No, just kidding. You're at the gas station, and somebody sees you, and they go, that's that guy who prays. He prays when he's filling his tank. They're praying at Walmart. They're praying at Food Town. I think that person was praying when they were driving. Better have their eyes open. Everywhere we go, everything we do, our lifestyle needs to be one of prayer. Constant, deliberate, passionate, focused prayer. You know what I say. No prayer, no power. No prayer, no power. That's what God has given us. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 tells us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to give thanks this morning. Do you notice these? Where's Donna? Would you stand? Thank you. On two occasions, we had services here for people who didn't belong to New Hope, and some weren't even believers, and they were taking pictures of the banners and wanted to know where they could purchase them. Quality work. All for the glory of God. All for the audience of one. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. That is to be who we are. The Old Testament and the New Testament both teach God's people the importance of prayer. That's what God has asked His people to do. And I believe that you can look in Scripture and you can see a point where prayer kind of became formalized. In Genesis 4:26, I believe there's a reference there to prayer. It says, to Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And I believe that's a point where Scripture reveals to us that humanity began calling to God in a way that we call prayer. Communicating to Him, talking to Him. It was different in the garden. They walked with Him. They had an interaction. The relationship was different. That relation was broken by sin. That relationship needs to be reinforced by our prayer. We need to be doing what God says to do. Enosh was the grandson of Adam and Eve, and apparently the formal concept of prayer had begun about this time, or at least that's when it's recorded in Scripture. If you go through the record of the Old Testament, you have example after example of men and women who are communicating to God with prayer. They get on their knees, or they lay down, or they stand, or whatever, and they pray. They're calling upon the name of God. They're communicating to God through prayer. We also see this in the New Testament at the beginning of the church. The beginning, the very, very beginning of the church, we find the importance of prayer. They were gathered together that night, that day that we call Pentecost. They were gathered together, and one of the things they were doing was praying. And then later in Acts 2:42, after the Spirit is come and the church has been born, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. This was a part of what church was. One thing I'm very certain about prayer, when I look at it from Old Testament, New Testament, no matter what direction I come at it, every time I look at prayer, I come to the same place that I can be very certain about, and that is that in God's economy, in God's way of thinking, in God's design, it has never been optional. He never intended for prayer to be something that you leave up to somebody else to do for you. We may pray for one another, but it has never been something that God wanted to be optional. It has always been mandatory. It's a command. It's a command. Everywhere you go, when you do the word studies and the language work, you find out that it's a command. It's mandatory. Consider these. This is Jesus, Matthew 5:44. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Matthew 6:5, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their full reward, their reward in full." Romans 12:12, "Rejoice in home, in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer." Ephesians 6:18, "With all prayer and supplication, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Now, that's just a short collection of verses. And it is understood in the content and the grammar in these passages that these were not suggestions. These are commands. That's the way they were written. The Spirit of God, as He inspired the words to be recorded for us, said, "I want these to be in a form that means this is a command. Do this." It's not a suggestion. I'm certain of that. I keep going to those places. In Matthew 5:44, it doesn't say, "But you know," this is Jesus speaking, "you might try this occasionally. To love your enemies and pray for those." You know, give that a whirl. See how that works for you and get back to me on that. That's not the way it's worded. He just says, "I say to you," and the form that is in the Greek is, "This is what you're going to do." It's a command. "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." It's not optional. They're commands. That's the way they were written. God's people are to pray. No prayer, no power. Now, in the month of January, we set this aside to work on this. And here are some ways that I want us to pray during the month of January. How many of you eat lunch? Y'all partake of that noonday sustenance? Don't shake your head, no. Get together with a couple of people. Hold one another accountable. Get together, do something just a little bit different than your normal order of doing life. Get together and pray. Don't know what to pray for? Take a bulletin with you. Get together and pray. Evening prayer. I want to have the ministry center open in the evenings so that people can come as they can and pray. And I want to have every chair in this room prayed over. I'd like that to happen on a regular basis. I'd like for every space in this building, in this ministry center, to be prayed over and through and in. Come do that. You don't have to have leadership to do that. Come pray. Come pray. I've been in some churches where they do this. And it's astonishing. It's astonishing for the people who do the praying, and it's also astonishing because it continually separates this space that we call the ministry center to God. There was a time in our culture when even the heathen understood the concept of sanctuary, a place set apart to God. We have lost that in our culture. I want it to be a part of what New Hope is. A place that's His. That's safe. A place where we come together as His people that's set apart for the kingdom of God. Let's do that in the evenings. When we came into this building, we had a couple of times of doing that. And people came in and we prayed over every room and we prayed over, and it was glorious. There were tears. I mean, it brought some of us to our knees. It was amazing what God did. I want to see that on a regular basis. Let's do that in January. We'll have it open. I probably will be here between 6 and 7-ish till I fall asleep or go home. Men's prayer. Men's prayer has been growing a little bit here and there. The men get together on the second and fourth Saturdays to pray. We also prayed yesterday as a part of our breakfast time. It was marvelous. Come join us. We've been meeting in this little room. I'd like for there to be enough men, and if the men that were here yesterday hear this, they understand why I'm going to say this. I want to have enough men to come here to do the heavy lifting that we have to use this room. Amen? I'm looking at Tommy because he was here yesterday. There's heavy lifting to be done. Men need to pray. It's a man thing. Come do it with us. Okay? I know some of you like to go lift weights and work out. Come do that. I'll show you how. I'm a bodybuilder. We'll just change the spiritual realm that occurs in. Small groups. We have some small groups that are meeting throughout the weeks, throughout the week. Those need to be dedicated. There needs to be prayer in those, and that's happening. Maybe we need to have some more happening. You might be the host. You might be one of the leaders. Get together in some small groups and spend an hour in prayer. I challenge you to do that. Pray for a whole solid hour. One of the things that happened to me when I first got saved was I got to get around some real crazy college students who were about my age and they'd been saved for a long time. I was kind of a newbie. And one of the things they did every New Year's Eve was they read clear through the Bible. And they took shifts. And it was hard to get it all in. And we had to figure out, okay, we're going to start at such and such a time. And we'd finish sometime on New Year's Day. We'd read all the way through. The other thing that they would do is that they would get together and they would pray. And prayer lasted for hours. And you think, well, that sounds really boring. Well, you know, you reach a point when you pray that way and you become passionate about who God is and you begin to get dedicated to the thing called prayer, and it isn't boring. You kind of cross that threshold into a place that is unique. I challenge you. Pray for an hour. Pray for an hour. There will be some other things as well that I'd like to do in the month of January. The main thing is that we begin to increase in our maturity concerning prayer. No prayer, no power. We are commanded to pray. But I believe there are three reasons other than the command that we are to pray. There's more than three, but I wanted to look at three this morning. First, prayer helps us to grow in our faith, to become stronger in our trust of God. If we pray, we're saying, I believe God is going to do something. I believe that I can go to Him. I can talk to Him. I can talk to Him about anything. I'm here. That increases our trust. When we come to God with our every need and every request, we are declaring that we trust God for the answer, His answer. Not ours, but His answer. And that grows our faith. And Hebrews tells us, as we heard this morning a little bit, faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God? You need to be praying. You can't do it without it. He wants you to pray. Put a smile on God's face and pray. That, if that sounds sacrilegious to you, you talk to me later and get over it. Second, our prayer life demonstrates our love for God and His love for us. Have you noticed that any of your important relationships, you communicate? There's communication happening. It's one of the things that we deal with in marriage all the time. Husbands and wives do need to communicate. Maybe some of you need to talk to me about that, but that's true, isn't it? In relationships, we communicate. If we never speak to someone, it's really difficult for us to say that we love them without being a hypocrite. Prayer is the principal way that we communicate to God, and Scripture is the principal way God communicates to us. When you put the two together, that relationship is healthy. You got to pray. Third, when we pray, we are included in the eternal activities of God. When we pray, we get ourselves involved in exactly what God is doing. He's on the winning team. That means you're a part of the winning team. He's doing marvelous things and miraculous things, and there's all kinds of stuff He's doing, and He wants you to be a part of that. And when you pray, you become a part of what He's doing. We're involved with Him. No prayer, no power. Now, one of the things that God is doing, and it's so exciting to me, is that He is promoting His kingdom. How many of you this morning, if we took a poll, would say, yes, I want to see God's kingdom established here on earth? Would you go, yeah, to that? Yeah, wow, would that be awesome? I mean, that would change the equation in everything, wouldn't it? So we want to expand His kingdom. He wants to include us in that work. That means that we need to be praying for the lost. And that's going to be one of the emphasis of our prayer time in January, is praying for the lost by name. By name. I want you to select somebody that's a sinner, a heathen right now going to hell, and I want you to pray them into the kingdom in the month of January. You, not me. Don't be like the woman who called me on the phone and said, Pastor, I was talking to my neighbor out in the yard and I think they want to know Jesus. Would you come get them saved? I wanted to reach through the phone. Go pray with them. Talk to them. Pray. You are involved. It's not just me. It's not just the elders. All of us are involved in the work of growing the kingdom of God. This is the work. This to me needs to be our focus. And this is what was included in that part of Matthew that we call the Great Commandment. Matthew 28, or the Great Commission, I'm sorry. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That was the cue. So there's people getting up, and there's people moving, and things are happening. And I wanted that to happen because, you know, they're going to bring the kids down from children's church this morning. That's awesome. We've got a baptism going on. That means we're right in the middle of what God doing? Do you understand that? He said, go and make disciples. So we're gonna do that, and the first step in going and doing what God wants us to do is to be people of prayer. Expanding God's kingdom is the believer's priority. It's the believer's priority for there to be more believers. And the reason is that we want God glorified. The more believers, the more God is glorified. Do you follow the logic there? I want there to be so many people believing in Christ that God gets more glory. Hallelujah. Offer Him. That's the commission. It's the command to the church to go. Go into the world. That does not mean you have to go to India. That does not mean you have to go to Africa. If you go, we will bless you and we will send you. But what it does mean is that you go wherever you're at and you preach the gospel, you live a godly life, you pray for the lost, you expect to see wonderful, amazing, incredible things that God is willing to do for people who trust Him. Now, all of that brings us to this celebration this morning. We have eight young people that have decided that they want to publicly declare their allegiance to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is wonderful. What a great day. What a great way to start the year. This is so amazing. First of all, it's amazing because whenever people came to us in the past and said, Pastor, I want to get baptized, we'd have to figure out, okay, are we going to do it in the creek? We did it in somebody's irrigation ditch. We had to figure all this stuff out. We're doing it here this morning. Amen. And it is so fun. It's also exciting because this is a part of what it means to be a believer. Baptism does not save anyone. It never has saved anyone, never will save anyone, but it is so amazing that saved people get baptized. That's what God wants. And the reason that is so amazing is that in the first century society, if you wanted to fit yourself underneath a master, you wanted to learn from the best rabbi there was, let's say, you would have him baptize you publicly. Society understood at that time what it meant. It was a public declaration of who you were and what you believed and who you were associated with. We need to restore that in the body of Christ. This is not some trivial thing that the church does. This is important. I told you earlier that prayer is not a suggestion. It's a command. So is baptism. And here we have these eight people that have said, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that He died for me. I believe that He rose from the dead and that He lives today. And I want Him to be my master, and I want to publicly declare that I'm His totally and completely. The New Testament records that as the church progressed, this was the norm. You got saved and you got baptized. And the baptism was public so that everybody would know. I have been in a society where the persecution of believers doesn't begin when you get saved. It begins when you get baptized because they understand what that means. It's not just some trivial symbol. It means you belong to the master. And our master this morning is Jesus Christ. Baptism had deep meaning to the culture of the first century. Public proof of whom you had chosen to follow. Public proof that you had a master that you were completely devoted to. And that's what we celebrate this morning. Now, they are going to do part of it. You know, Carter's going to come in here and just, as I speak, there he is, my brother in the Lord. He's the first one, and he's going to come, and then the others are going to come, and they're going to climb the stairs, they're going to get in the water, we're going to go through the routine, and we're going to baptize them. But you have a part as well, because this is a public statement. You're the public. So here's what I want. I ask passionately that you would sense the excitement and the joy of what is occurring. These are people who have committed themselves to Christ. We should celebrate that to start with. Now they are being obedient to Christ in our presence. We need to rejoice in that. And so when they come into this process, and I hold them under the water. I told them I was going to hold them until the bubbles quit, but I'm not going to. When they come up out of the water, would you celebrate with them? Make this such a celebration that they will never, ever be challenged by the devil that it didn't happen. I remember my baptism. There were friends there that did that. And part of the warfare that we battle with Satan is to remember that we were buried with Christ and we have been risen again in new life. That's the symbolism. I belong to Jesus Christ, and I know that. And every time the enemy has said, "No, I don't think so," I can look at him and go, "I was there. When they put me under the water, I was there when I came out of the water. I was there when I gave myself to Christ." Symbolically in baptism. Don't argue with me. And off he goes. Can we do that? Help them do that this morning.